where do you live now, or where's your country of origin, or it's different when you ask the question, where is your home? Where is your home? I think for me, my father was in the Navy, so we moved every year and a half. We moved to a different place. So I was born in Philadelphia, lived in Philadelphia for a year and a half. And then my father was at the Naval Base in Philadelphia. Then he was assigned to go to San Diego. So I was just a baby, but we moved to San Diego. I don't remember anything about San Diego, but we moved to San Diego. Then a year and a half later, we moved to Chicago. There's a naval base in Chicago. So we lived in Chicago for about 2 years and don't remember very much about Chicago. I was 4 years old then. Then we moved to another location. We moved to Norfolk, Virginia, because there's another naval base in Norfolk. So we lived in Norfolk for now about a year and a half. And then we moved to Maryland or Washington, D.C. And that's where we stayed the longest. So I lived in Washington, D.C. for, I think, 10 years lived in Washington, D.C. So if someone were to ask me the question, well, where is your home? You know, how would I answer that? Because I went to the University of Maryland, became a Christian while a student there. I became part of a missions organization, Campus Crusade for Christ. That's who I work for now. And that's how I met my wife. So when we got married, she's from Alabama. She grew up in Alabama, was born in Alabama. So I'm born in Philadelphia, she's born in Alabama. So when we met, I met her mother and father, and they had questions because I was from the north. I don't know if they liked that. She was from the south, I was from the north. So there was an issue there. But when Kara and I got married, we moved here to Johnson City. Now I think when we got married, Kara didn't realize she's gonna have to move to Johnson City, but that was part of the package, part of our marriage. And so we moved here, and I've been living here since 1979. So that's what, 45 years ago is when I moved here to Johnson City. I think when I was younger, if someone were to say, where is your home? I think I would have said initially, probably I would have said Washington, D.C. or Maryland, because I lived there the longest. But then I moved away from home, and I think when I was single, home was where my mother was. I'd go home to be with my mother, And then 5 years ago, my mother died. And so that was no longer my home. My mother was in heaven. And so I changed. I used to think that heaven was mostly a home was mostly a place. But then I started thinking maybe home is more the people that you love, and the people that you want to be with. You know, that's your real home. It's the people that you love, and it's the people that you want to be with. And in this passage, Paul is talking here to the Corinthian church. And it's interesting, each time, seven different times in this chapter, in chapter 4, he uses the word therefore. Therefore. In verse 6, he says, therefore. Being of good courage. So whenever you see the word therefore, you ask the question, what's it there for? A little play on English there. You ask that question, well, why? Why does he say therefore? So I read in chapter 4, and in chapter 4, he explains it. He says in chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our outer man is decaying, but our inner man is being renewed day by day. And in that verse, what he's saying is that our bodies, this body on earth that we have, our physical body, is growing older. Now, I never used to think of myself as being older. I do a little bit now, maybe a little bit. But I got gray hair when I was like 30-something, so I had premature gray hair. So I've had gray hair for a long time. But as you age, things happen in your body, right? Some of you are a little bit older, perhaps, in this room. Some are younger. But things happen in our bodies. I remember when I went to the eye doctor, and they said, well, you may have early cataracts. I said, what? I'm too young to have cataracts. But I had to have surgery to correct the cataracts, which I'm glad. I'm glad they have that available. But our outer bodies are decaying. They're getting older. Things stop working. Things happen that you're not expecting. And we just grow physically older. But what's interesting is this body that we have right now is not your eternal home. It's not your eternal home. So he says, going back to chapter 5, he says, be of good courage or good cheer, knowing that when we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And then in verse 8, he says, I prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. So what is he saying there in that passage? I think he's saying this. I'm going to draw a body. When we're physically alive, when we're alive, we are at home in our body, our earthly body that God has given us. So right now, all of us here, we're all in our bodies. But being physically in our human body, we are absent from the Lord. So in our bodies, we are home in our body, but we are physically absent from the Lord. Now the Lord lives in our heart as Christians and as believers. The Lord is right here with us. But in the sense of the body, when you're home in your body, you are absent from the Lord. Does that make sense? Then he goes on to say what his preference was in verse 8. Look at verse 8. And he tells you what his preference is. And Paul says this very clearly. He says, be of good courage. Take heart. Be cheerful. Have courage. Because he prefers to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't saying, I'm ready to die. He was ready to die, but he said, don't make me die now. You know, he wasn't being morbid about this. But he's saying, rather, that his preference was to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, we've talked about this before. As you know, when Jesus died, there were two thieves on either side of him, right? There's Jesus in the middle cross, and then there are two thieves on the two other crosses next to him. And one of the men was speaking bad words, blaspheming, But the other man was not. And he said some words, some humble words on the cross about Jesus remembering him. And do you remember the words that Jesus said to that man? Remember? He said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." That thief on the cross, Jesus told him, told that man, that today you'll be with me in paradise. Just a short time after that, they came and broke the legs of that person on the cross. And by breaking the legs, it caused you to die quicker because you no longer could bring air into your lungs. You couldn't press down to bring air. So that man died. And the moment that man died on the cross, he went into paradise. He went into paradise. So he says here in this passage, he says, Paul says, "I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." His desire was to be with Jesus, to be at home with the Lord. So, answering the question very simply, what does that mean to be home with the Lord? To be at home with the Lord means you're in the presence of Jesus Christ. You're in His presence. And that's where we all want to be one day. That's where I want to be, right? That's where you want to be. We want to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because in His presence, there is no longer any sorrow. There are no tears. There's no disappointment. There's no pain. There's no suffering. And there's no sin. In the presence of Jesus will be joy, happiness, purity, and comfort. That's what it means to be at home with the Lord. No wonder Paul is saying that's his preference. He said, "I would prefer to be at home with the Lord." He said the same thing to the Philippian church. In chapter 1 of Philippians, he says, let me read this to you. Because he says he had a conflict in his heart over this issue. He says in verse 21, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says this. He says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's a great verse to memorize. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I don't know which to choose. I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet, to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith. So what Paul is saying to the Philippians is that to die is gain. He preferred to be in heaven with Jesus. But there was work still to be done. He had a heart for the Philippian church. He wanted to see their joy and progress and growth in their faith. Otherwise, on the day that we all became believers, why didn't God just take us into heaven directly? Didn't do it, did he? Instead, he's left us on this earth with a mission. And it's a mission that every Christian has responsibility for. He calls us ambassadors. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, in verse 20. Ambassadors. Now, what are ambassadors? I've never met an ambassador. But what are ambassadors? Ambassadors are men and women who represent the king or the emperor or the president or whoever's the ruler. An ambassador represents the authority. They represent the authority. So they speak in the name of the authority, whoever the authority is. Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Christ is our ultimate authority. It's not government. It's Christ. So as Christians, as believers, when we're speaking the name of Christ, we're speaking as ambassadors for Christ. Each one of us has that title. We are all in this room ambassadors for Christ. And as long as we're in these earthly bodies, we're continuing to be ambassadors for Christ. And our role as an ambassador is to be a spokesperson for the authority. So specifically, our role as Christians is to be a spokesperson for Christ. Now that is our task. That's our mission. That's God's desire for each and every one of us. And he's put us all in unique situations. Some of us in this room are in the medical field. Some work at Eastman. Some may be retired. Some may have a different role, whatever the role may be. But God has placed you in a unique place, and he's put people around you. Your neighbors, where you live, your friends. He's put you in a position for you to be an ambassador for Christ, an ambassador. So that's why in verse 8, going back to verse 8, Paul makes it so clear to be of good courage, and that even though his preference was to be at home with the Lord, he knew that to be home in the body was fruitful work for him. Verse 9, move on to verse 9. And he tells you the kind of life that we need to live when we're at home in the body. He says, therefore, we have as our ambition. I'm not sure how that word is translated into the Mandarin, but he says, we have as our ambition, whether home or absent, to be pleasing to him, to be pleasing to him. What does that mean, to be pleasing to the Lord? It means walking with Jesus. It means doing the things he wants you to do. It means saying the things he asks you to say. It means following in his steps. It means living your life for Jesus. Living in a different way. Living in the way of Christ. And Paul says that his ambition was to be pleasing to him. Pleasing to him. Now verse 10 can be a difficult verse. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, Paul says this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, what does that mean? I thought as a Christian that we weren't judged. I thought as a Christian, our salvation has already been determined. And you know what? The answer to that is yes. This is not a judgment of salvation. This is a judgment of reward. Reward. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed or rewarded for the deeds he's done in his body. Have you thought about that? There's going to be a reward day in heaven when rewards will be given out to believers who have been pleasing to him. It's not for salvation. This is not a judgment for salvation to determine if you're saved or not. It's not that. It's rather for believers to be rewarded in heaven. And I have friends who say, well, I thought everything was equal in heaven. Well, sort of. Not quite. It's kind of like the difference between the lights of different stars. Some stars are brighter than other stars. And now they're all bright and they're all hot and they're all from here far away. But stars differ in their brilliance. Now stars, our sun is different than the moon, right? The moon does not generate any light of its own, none. Where does the light on the moon come from? It comes from the sun, right? It doesn't generate its own light. You getting this? It's not. It doesn't generate its own light. There's no big battery or a lamp on the moon that makes the moon shine bright at night. No. The moon simply reflects the light from the sun. You know what our reward in heaven is? Reflecting the light of the sun. S-O-N. In heaven, we'll be reflecting his glory and his light. And the saints, the believers, will be reflectors of the glory of God. And we'll lift our hands in praise and praise God that in him we have forgiveness and mercy and joy. If we had a lot of time, I'd go into, there's some specific crowns that are given. 7 different times in the New Testament, there's a reference to golden crowns and different crowns that are given to believers who have walked with the Lord. And then in Revelation, it says, you know what happens to this crown? They're thrown at the foot of Jesus. They're laid down as a sacrifice. So we have as our ambition to be pleasing to him. And that's why it says in verse 11, therefore, having the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. That's going back to our task and our mission. Okay, so let me make a circle here. What does it mean to be home with the Lord? What it means you're leaving your earthly body. You're leaving your earthly body and you're going into the presence of God. Let's see. Where's that eraser? So here's what happens. So at death, what happens is a separation takes place. when we die physically, our body, our physical body, is separated from our soul and spirit. So when that thief on the cross died, his physical body went in the ground. He was buried. But his soul and spirit were with Jesus in paradise. In paradise. So at death, there's a separation that takes place. The body goes into the ground. The body is in the ground, but your soul and spirit, this is the essence of who you are. Your body's in the ground, but your soul and spirit are with the Lord. So when he talks about being at home with the Lord, it's your body and soul that are at home with the Lord. Now here's the exciting news. One day, we'll get a new body. That's pretty amazing. We're going to get new bodies. And he says it in 1 Thessalonians, if you're tracking with me here. And I've got to read to you this passage. It's so amazing. He says it this way, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul wrote this. He said, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who have fallen asleep." So for the believer, it's like their body is asleep. Their body's in the ground, asleep. "About those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. If someone is not a believer, when they die, they have no hope." I've been to lots of funerals. And there's a very, very big difference between a Christian funeral and the funeral of a non-believer. In a Christian funeral, there are tears and there's grieving. There's a sense of loss. But there's hope because they know they'll see that person again in heaven. In a non-Christian funeral, it is not that way. If you've been to one, there's tears and they're grieving, but guess what? There is no hope. They'll never see that person again because they didn't trust Christ. So Paul in this passage says, don't grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And this I say to you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain until the coming of Christ will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the trumpet and the shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now this is a mystery. Hard to understand. But it says the dead in Christ will be raised. Then we who are alive will be caught up with them in the clouds. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, what is perishable will become imperishable. And what is mortal will become immortal. It's a resurrected body. An imperishable, immortal body. And one day we're all going to get those resurrected bodies. So I've had people, my friends, say, well, what will that body be like? And I always ask this question, well, what was Jesus like after his resurrection? He wasn't invisible like a ghost or something. Jesus, after his resurrection, he met with them, spoke with them. He actually had meals with them. He said, bring me some fish and some bread. He was in their company. He was with them. He was present with them. And I don't know exactly what our resurrection bodies are going to look like. I don't know. But I do know this, they're going to be imperishable, and they're going to be immortal, and we're going to be in the presence of God forever. So what does it mean to be home with the Lord? To be home with the Lord is to be with Jesus forever. I don't know what today or tomorrow or next week will bring. Don't know. When I leave here, I could get in my car and get in a car accident and drive home and die in a car crash. That could happen. Or I could have a heart attack, or anything can happen. I don't know. But here's one thing I know, because the Bible says it. When I die, I'm going into heaven to be with Jesus. And you know what? I can't wait. I cannot wait. Now I want to see my grandkids grow up, and I want to see, you know, I'm ready to die. I don't want to die, but I'm ready to die. I'm ready. Because there's a river called the River of Life. And there's someone waiting on that other side of that river. My mother, for example, who became a believer. She's waiting on the other side of that river. My friend Mary Ann, who died 2 weeks ago, is waiting on the other side of that river. My nephew, who died in a terrible accident, is waiting on the other side of that river. You know who else is waiting? Jesus is waiting on the other side of that river, the river of life. And when we die, we transition to our home in heaven. What a glorious day that will be. And we'll celebrate forever. All eternity will be celebrating in the presence of God. Maybe even speaking Mandarin, I don't know. There's going to be so many believers in heaven. I don't know what language it'll be, but we'll be in heaven together in the presence of the Lord. And we can talk about those years in Johnson City, Tennessee, or wherever you're from. You're from Taiwan or Beijing or China or America or wherever you're from, we'll reminisce about those days. Do you remember those days? Do you remember those days? And we'll be in fellowship with one another. And we'll be enjoying the presence of the Lord. That's where our home is, in heaven. Amen? That's where heaven is. Our home is where Jesus is. And I can't wait to go there. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for my friends here in this room. And thank you that in Christ we are forgiven. And he's given us the gift of eternal life. And Lord, you've left us with a mission. We're all ambassadors for Christ in this room. You've given us a mission to persuade others about Jesus, to talk to our family members and our neighbors and our co-workers, and to represent Christ in all that we do and say. And we're not able to do that through our own energy and power. We pray for the empowering of your Holy Spirit to empower us to live for you. And I pray that we would have the same attitude that Paul did when he said that his ambition was to be pleasing to God. I pray that that would be my ambition and each of our ambitions in this room, that we would be pleasing to you. And if someone doesn't know you here today, I pray they would trust you as their Savior and Lord today. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name.